Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. That telephone number, let me remind you, for you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Number of people always say, well, I want to put in my 2 cents worth, or I want to ask some questions. This is your opportunity to do so. 904-831-0917. We're talking about today an issue that I believe every one of us as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America need to be concerned about and need to be tuned in to. Calling it today, Choose Life. The Word of God in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 19th verse says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. We're living in a culture of death today. We're living in a culture today where there's the push by the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party in particular to murder the baby, a human being in the womb of the mother. We're talking today with Andrew Chervelle. Andrew is the head and the president and the operation officer for the Florida Voice for the Unborn. He is talking with us today about the need to recognize what is happening in the state of Florida, how we can join hands with him to help prevent the continuation and the promulgation and the increasing of the number of murders by way of abortion in Florida. Perhaps you didn't hear the first part of the broadcast, but in 2023, 84,000 murders in the mother's womb took place in the state of Florida. Based on the statistical data, murder by way of abortion is the number one cause of death in the state of Florida. And I am delighted that Andrew's had taken the opportunity to join us today on this broadcast to discuss the issues. Andrew, before the news break, we're talking about what is taking place and why it is so important for us to, as churches and Christians and conservatives, to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Could you give a little insight as to how they can, all of our listeners, can lock arms with you and walk with you to help you be the tip of the spear to do what you're doing to prevent the murders of babies in the mother's womb? How can we help? How can we join in? What is your greatest need in carrying out the ministry of the Florida Voice for the Unborn?
Florida Voice for the Unborn needs all Christians and really all people in the state of Florida, I call with a functioning conscience, to join hands so that we are laser focused on defeating Amendment 4, the pro-abortion revision to our state constitution, this fall. And in order to do that, I would encourage your listeners to go to floridavoiceforTheUnborn.com. We have a number of resources there. We are going to be rolling out the next phase of our campaign in terms of educating our fellow Floridians to vote no on this horrible abortion until birth state constitutional amendment proposal in the fall. And, you know, Dr. Youngblood, there's a couple of things that we as Christians need to understand in order to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we can actually defeat Amendment 4. First, I really do believe that we have to understand the pro-abortion side's strengths, their weaknesses, and their game plan. And by that, I mean we have to be realistic about where we are as a pro-life movement and where they are. See, the pro-abortion side is always going to out-fundraise us. They're always going to out-fund us, but they can't be allowed to outwork us. And so we need to put in the work in the next 6 months to Election Day on November 5th in order to ensure Amendment 4's defeat. And we also have to understand that the pro-abortion side is going to lie about the initiative all the way up until election night. They're going to say they've won even before any votes have been cast. And so we have to anticipate that, and we have to kind of gird our loins, and stand strong and not be complacent or be deterred or throw up our hands and say, well, it's an inevitability that they're going to win. And you had mentioned before the break this poll that showed that 72% of Christians, I believe you stated, were at least leaning towards Amendment 4.
But that's 72% of the voters in the state of Florida, including Christians.
Okay, 72% of all voters. Well,
right.
I've seen some very encouraging polling since, unfortunately, the Florida Supreme Court allowed this misleading, horrible amendment on the ballot when they handed down their decision on April 1st, along with the good decision that gave us the heartbeat law. But I've seen some very good public polling that shows one came out the week after the Florida Supreme Court issued their decision in mid-April, this poll from Emerson College, and it showed that only 42% of surveyed Florida voters were a sure yes on Amendment 4. 25% were a hard no. And then the good news was that 32% of these surveyed voters were undecided. So even if half of those surveyed voters that were undecided broke for the pro-abortion side, that would leave them at 58%. And in Florida, we have to know our strengths, too. One of our big strengths is that it takes 60% of voters to approve of a constitutional amendment revision on the ballot in order for it to go into effect. So in November, 60% of voters who actually cast a vote on Amendment 4, that's what's needed. That's the threshold needed in order for it to go into effect and change our state constitution. That's a high threshold in a conservative-leaning state like Florida. So that's good news. I think that's doable. I think if we get the message out on the pro-life side about what this amendment really does and what it really, seeks to do, then I think we can get under that 60% threshold. It's doable. If you look at other states where these similar initiatives have passed since the fall of Roe versus Wade, in particular Ohio, which mirrors Florida in many respects, especially in voting patterns. You look at what happened in Ohio last year when they passed their state constitutional amendment, it only passed with 57% of the vote. And I say only because it still got under that 60% threshold. Now, in Ohio, they only needed 51%. But in Florida, as I said, we need 60%. So that's good news, again, for Florida, if we can combat the lies of the pro-abortion side effectively. And so in order to do that, we have to really all work hard in our own spheres of influence and reach what I believe are the key demographics. And the key demographics to reach are likely voters. You know, you can walk up and down a street and hand out literature and meet all sorts of people, including many tourists that we have here in our Sunshine State that visit, every single day. And that's not going to do anything. We have to make sure we're actually targeting voters who are going to turn out in the fall and cast a vote, either yes or no, on Amendment 4. And you can't skip over the question, because that will actually lower the threshold for the yes side. So if you're inclined to vote no and you're kind of squeamish about it, don't skip over the ballot. The question, you have to vote no. In fact, you have an affirmative duty, I believe, as a Christian, to stop this evil proposal. We can't be complicit with our silence and say, well, I don't know, I wouldn't make the decision for myself, but I'm not going to tell other people how to do it. The other side is making the decision for other people. So we have to stand up for the unborn children who get no say in this amendment whatsoever if it passes. And so you have to vote no. And if we do all those things within our spheres and communicate the right messaging to the right audiences, then I think we are going to come in under that 60%. And if we win by 10,000 votes, that's a win. And all glory goes to the Lord. That is his plan. And so don't be deterred by the lies of the pro-abortion side. I think my mantra for the next 6 months with leading Florida Voice for the Unborn is we can and we will defeat Amendment 4. But it's going to take all of us laser focused on that goal from now until November 5th.
Absolutely. Andrew, well stated. Let me postulate a question. It's a burning question for me. And that is, let's take a moment and let you play pretend for a moment that our audience is made up of pastors. I call most of them spineless. Now, you may not want to go that far. How do you speak to a pastor to motivate them to speak about this issue clearly, definitively, directly, biblically, from the pulpits? And the reason I say that is I found most of them are fearful of saying anything about what they call politics from the pulpit. This is not a political issue. This is a central biblicist issue. This is a God issue. This is a divine, holy issue that should be spoken to and addressed clearly and directly, and pastors should stand and say, don't you dare vote for it. How do you address those pastors? Let's play pretend for a moment, and you speak to the pastoral leadership in our audience today.
I believe pastors have to take the lead on this. And if you're a member of the congregation and you want to approach your pastor, on how to lead on this, I would come at it like this. As you said, this isn't a political issue. This is a life or death issue. Mm-hmm. And as you correctly stated, Dr. Youngblood, at the start of your show, the abortion industry is asking the voters of Florida to sign the death warrant for hundreds of thousands of preborn babies, potentially for decades to come. And I would say to the pastor, look, for decades, we've been able to hide under the fact that the courts did this. The courts legalized it. There wasn't much we could do. We're trying to save babies, with sidewalk counseling and prayer and kind of passing these regulations that would maybe, like the 24-hour waiting period and parental consent to kind of reduce the abortion rate. But overall, there was not much the population could do, including our legislature. But with the fall of Roe versus Wade, and now with our landmark Florida Supreme Court decision on April 1st that says there is no implicit right to abortion in our state constitution, the ball is squarely in the people's court. So now we can't hide behind other entities and blame others. It's on the people of God. And so the pastors throughout Florida have a tremendous moral responsibility in a way I think that they haven't even been had since the fall of Roe versus Wade, because the question of legalized abortion in the state of Florida, including partial birth abortion, including dismemberment abortion, is before their congregations. And so they have to, like you said, choose life. It's choose life or death. And how you fill that oval out on your November ballot will have eternal consequences, not only for the unborn children for decades to come here in Florida, but for all of us as Christian believers. We, as you said, are being asked to sign the death warrant. Are you a vote yes? Signed those children's death warrants. A vote no gives them the reprieve that they are entitled to under not only under our Declaration of Rights, but I believe also under the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which should be interpreted to guarantee equal protection to the unborn. That's a whole separate issue. But the issue that we are being asked to vote on this November has tremendous consequences in a way that we haven't been asked to vote on or reflect on in many, many, many years in this country. So the stakes are very high. That's what I would emphasize. It's eternal stakes for all of us.
Andrew, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking about the amendment that will be on the ballot in November. It's the Fourth Amendment. It is the Fourth Amendment. There's six amendments that they're proposing. This is number four on the ballot. Andrew, I want you to take a moment. It gets to the nitty-gritty of it. The wording of that amendment, proposed amendment, the wording, would you say that it is a lie, partial lie, whole lie, or is it telling the truth in that preamble to that vote or that amendment? I've read it. You've read it. I want you to explain it to our listeners. Many listeners will go into the ballot box, the ballot voting booth, and will read that wording and think, well, that's okay. What's wrong with that wording? Why should they be cautious of it? Why should we still say no on Amendment 4?
The ballot summary that voters are going to see actually parrots the text of the proposed amendment itself. And the proposed amendment is just, one sentence. But the ballot summary, I would say, is a total lie. Although maybe I could qualify that because, unlike in other states, the abortion industry writes right in to the amendment language itself, abortion, which they're not really hiding the ball. It's not reproductive rights or freedom or whatever they euphemistically try to label it as in other states. They're saying this is about abortion. But they're also trying to hide the ball, too, Dr. Youngblood. There's three very ambiguous terms in the text of the ballot summary that is purposely designed to deceive voters, even voters that would be inclined to be pro-life and vote no on this. And those terms are viability, patient's health, and healthcare provider. Viability, it says that, in the text of the amendment, the legislature basically would be prohibited from restricting abortion before viability. But viability isn't defined. Does that mean when a child can live outside the mother's womb? Does that mean, when the abortionist says viability, which to them, a lot of people in the pro-abortion movement actually have said publicly that they don't believe a child is viable unless it takes its first breath outside of the mother's womb. And then we also have this patient's health. Patient's health, under this amendment, abortions would be allowed if necessary to protect the patient's health. Well, what does that mean? Is it just physical? Is it just does it include emotional, psychological? We know from prior case law and from other statutes, that have been interpreted very broadly, that health can mean all sorts of things. And that's exactly what the abortion industry wants. They want that term to be ultimately interpreted as broadly as possible by the state courts, should this, be litigated in the state courts if the amendment passes. And unfortunately, I believe the state courts, looking at prior case law, and broad intent of the voters, would have no other choice but to give patients health the broadest meaning possible. Possible. So that means if you want to have an abortion because you're depressed that day, then the state constitution means that you can have one. So it's the implications are just profound. It's not when the mother's life is in true jeopardy, which is a very rare instance. It's almost, never the case, especially with our modern technology. And then the final term is this healthcare provider. Healthcare provider is not actually defined in Florida statutory law. We have the term healthcare practitioner, and healthcare practitioner, there's about 60-something different categories of what constitutes a healthcare practitioner, all the way from an abortionist to a therapist to a tattoo artist, you know, all sorts of people that have no business opining on abortion. But it, again, the abortion industry wants to bring this to the state courts and give it the broadest meaning possible. And so because healthcare provider is currently not defined in law, the courts would look to the definition that have been provided, this healthcare practitioner. And again, I believe, and many other legal observers believe as well, that the state courts would have no other choice but to allow not only abortionists, but all these other people, therapists, you know, tattoo artists, whoever they are deemed healthcare practitioners, to be allowed to sign off on abortions if they determine that a woman's health is in you know, needs to be protected even after viability. So that means all the way through all 9 months of pregnancy, all the way up until the moment of birth. It is a truly radical proposal. Yes.
Radical proposal, that's the danger of it. Andrew, if you would hold a moment, we have Jose on the line. Jose, go ahead, your question or comment, please.
Hey, I got a simple question. Is there any way we can do the people with a heart and people that we don't want to kill those babies in the wound so we can pass something in the state level? Because these crooked politicians, they phrased us, you know, the wording on that is so confusing that many people don't even know what it says between the line. And I think the devil is in the details, because as you guys were talking about, they call it woman's health rights. Let's be clear, that's abortion. And they just disguise it so well. Why don't we, I mean, to start with, that'd be a good idea, you know, one to start with, that the governor, which is on our side, he might see the light and say, wait a minute, we need to put it just in plain English, yes or not, you know what I mean? Because so many people is confused with the wording, and that's one thing. The other thing is many of the pastors, they need to speak about this, you know what I mean? Let the people know, open the people's eyes and make the decision. Proposition 4 says this, and this, and this, so it's up to you to decide what to do. Because you see the liberals going to the black churches and many churches, and they don't care using the pulpit, and use it as a campaign rally, and nobody says anything separation of church or state. Why don't we do the same, informing our members? It's just about time for us to speak up, and that literally is my question. Can we do something for that wording to be plain English, not confusing? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jose, for your question. Very quickly, Andrew, if you would remind our listeners that the Supreme Court's already reviewed the wording and they've passed it. They said okay, and I'm in disagreement with that. I believe it was out of the seven jurists that ruled on that, five of them said okay with the wording. Am I correct? Am I wrong? Correct me if I am.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Youngblood. However, to Jose's question, there has been talk in Tallahassee of conducting a special legislative session to kind of have some proposals to clamp back on this Amendment 4. And I don't know all the details, and of course, if I did, I couldn't release them publicly on the radio. But I think we might see some clarification from our pro-life supermajority legislature sooner rather than later. So all I can say to that is stay tuned.
Amen. Thank you for that. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. I just wanted to comment that I was a registered nurse for 15 years, and patients' health at any point in time, any doctor since the beginning of time, has always been able to determine whether it was safe related to the health of the baby and the health of the patient to give birth. So that's a mute point. And then the other comment is the truth book that I read, according to like your comment about all the pastors and stuff that are not speaking because it's a political thing, well, that's just hogwash. Because the Bible that I read says very clearly, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, that we need to admonish, warn one another to stay away from sin, stand up for truth, and do what's right according to God. Am I wrong on that?
Lisa, you're exactly right. I couldn't have made it any more academically sound and, how would you say, elementary in understanding than what you have just stated.
Simple.
So I am very simple. You can't get away from the simple truth of the Word of God. God's Word is not complicated at all. Sin is sin. God says it's sin. God says if you're saved that you ought not to be involved in it. God says that if you are, you need to get saved. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Come into the kingdom of God by saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. So, Lisa, you're on target. And I think it is incumbent upon us all to join in just a moment with Andrew, praying that God would divinely intervene and deliver us in the state of Florida from the wickedness that is on the horizon if this amendment is passed in November. Lisa, thank you so much for your call. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Andrew, I am delighted that you've taken this time to be with us today, and it is my prayer that we will be able to defeat this wicked, evil, unholy, ungodly amendment that is on the ballot for November. I say again to all of our listeners, on the Amendment 4 on your November ballot, vote no. It will destroy the lives of untold thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives in the state of Florida will be taken if that amendment is passed. Andrew, I think it's time. Today is the day of National Day of Prayer. I think it's a wonderful day, a wonderful time with a wonderful subject, and I'll place it in your hands. If you would, lead us in prayer for our listeners, praying that God would enable every listener to vote no on Amendment 4, and that God will intervene and put in the hearts and the minds of every Christian pastor to preach verbally, openly against this horrific amendment, asking the congregants and their congregation to vote no. Pray for us. We've got about 1 minute.
Dear Lord, please give all of us here in the state of Florida courage, wisdom, and the fortitude necessary to convince and persuade our fellow Floridians to vote no on this horrible abortion until birth amendment. Please, Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon the pro-life movement here in Florida and allow us to do your work in your time in the next 6 months so that we may glorify your name, all in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Andrew, brother, thank you for that prayer. Thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester's the Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Orange Park at 91.7.
For centuries, a cord with a lead weight on one end called a plumb line has been used to determine if something is straight and true. For centuries, God's Word has stood as the plumb line for determining if one's life is straight and true. Weekdays at 2:30 p.m. on The Truth, 91.7 and 91.9 FM, we'll examine what the plumb line of God's Word has to say about the vast number of issues swelling around in our culture today. Tune in at 2:30 weekdays for The Plumb Line with Jay Rudolph, a fresh new program focused on God's truth.
MediShare is like family. Someone to turn to when things are really rough.
When Terry received news about her